Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Dr. Ron DeHaven, administrator of the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. And joining us in our conversation is Mike Wasson.
Well, good morning, Dr. DeHaven. In the future, what changes of shifts do you see in APHIS's role in protecting U.S. agriculture?
Mike, I think we're already seeing some of those shifts. We're seeing more new and emerging diseases in the last few years than we've ever seen before. And I think that's reflected in the apportionments of monies that we've received to respond to some of those new emergencies and emerging pests and diseases. During the eight-year period from 1993 to 2000, we spent some $475 million in responding to those kinds of plant and animal emergencies. In the last 4 years, that number has soared to $1.1 billion. So in half the time, we've spent twice the amount of money responding to some of the new and emerging plant and animal pests and diseases. We've touched base already on the fact that as we enter into more trade agreements with our trading partners around the world, some of the technical issues to safeguard American agriculture are becoming those issues that are limiting trade. And so increasing pressure on APHIS to resolve those technical issues in a way that applies appropriate safeguards but doesn't unduly restrict trade. And then, as we've mentioned before, with the events of 9/11, the anthrax situation here in Washington, D.C., with the recognition with foot and mouth disease in Europe that we too are vulnerable, we have an increasingly important homeland security role within USDA in general and APHIS in particular. I think we're realizing as an agency that emergencies are part of our norm. As we go about our day-to-day business, that's going to include responding to whatever the current emergency is, either on the plant or animal side, or heaven forbid, both of them.
How does APHIS plan on integrating and protecting its science and technology infrastructure?
Mike, I think the credibility of our whole agency is that we are a science-based organization. We need to stay science-based and keep that as part of our roots. We have expanded, in fact, that science base of our agency, and I'll give a couple of examples. Within our plant protection quarantine unit, we've created a center for plant health science and technology. So as we're dealing with the domestic disease programs and coming up with new science-based ways of dealing with them or have a trade issue that requires a science-based resolution, it's those scientists at CFIST, Center for Plant Health Science and Technology, that are responsible for coming up with those kinds of science-based resolutions. And on the animal side, a similar organization is called the Center for Epidemiology and Animal Health. Clearly, when it comes to regulating biotechnology, we have to be science-based there. It's an evolving industry. The potential benefits are huge. We have to understand the science and ensure that our regulations are science-based. Our Wildlife Services Unit has gone from an organization that managed damage control on livestock to one that is really a wildlife disease management organization employing a number of wildlife biologists to ensure that where there is interaction between wildlife and domestic livestock, that we're appropriately managing the disease concerns there. So we are science-based, and our future credibility is dependent upon ensuring that we're employing the best science in our programs and activities.
Throughout our conversation this morning, you've talked an awful lot about very complicated programs, technological, statistical, and scientific. So let me ask you just about the employees who support you. Let's start with technology. How is the agency recruiting and retaining skilled IT workers?
Indeed. Well, with all the program activities I've talked about, Paul, we couldn't carry out all those activities if we didn't have an excellent support staff, and we do, and that runs the gamut from our IT specialists to our financial managers. On the IT side, especially in the last couple of years, actually recruitment of good quality IT specialists has not been an issue for us. Typically, when we put out an advertisement for a vacancy, we get a good number of applicants. And so I'm proud of the caliber and expertise of our IT specialists within the agency. Having said that, I think that there is a couple of things that we can do, or several things that we can do, if that becomes an issue in terms of providing financial incentives to attract some of those IT specialists. But I think even more fundamental than that is within APHIS we have an organizational culture that values our employees and places high value on family values. So I think we're a family-friendly, employee-friendly organization, but we can also provide those kinds of financial incentives if need be.
How is APHIS supporting agriculture trade between the U.S. and its trading partners?
Within our international services unit, we have a separate team we call the Trade Support Team, which is really the interface between APHIS, our Foreign Agricultural Service, and the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, where we are collectively working on agricultural trade issues. I think especially in the last decade, trade has become increasingly important as we enter into all of these trade agreements, and the technical barriers to trade that APHIS is responsible for are becoming increasingly important. So we have this team of individuals with geographical responsibility around the world that deal specifically with those issues from a technical standpoint, but also serve as our liaison between other parts of government that are dealing with agricultural trade issues. But we're also expanding our presence overseas. We have APHIS employees in 29 countries that are working on not just facilitating trade, but being our eyes and ears in terms of the agricultural threats that are out there, in terms of what potential threat might be coming to us from different parts of the world because of the animal and plant disease situations around the world. So I think we have an increasing role in, we certainly have had over the past decade, an increasing role in trade, and I don't see that doing anything in the future except expanding.
Dr. Haven, if I've done my math right, you've dedicated your career to public service almost 30 years, if I remember the dates from our first segment. So I'd like to ask you to be reflective and talk to a person who's maybe interested in a career or just starting out in public service. What advice would you give to them?
I think one of the most frustrating experiences of my 30-year career in government was getting that first job. There was no good process to tap into the system, get your questions answered, and effectively compete. So while I think we've made some tremendous inroads and are much more user-friendly today than we were in the past in that perspective, and there's ample opportunity to get information from the internet, I would encourage folks to be patient and persistent. I would also say, at the end of the day, certainly for me, it's been worth it. Certainly don't come to work for government if you just want to draw a paycheck and sit back and look forward to a retirement. Plan on working hard, but also plan on the rewards being substantial. I think the impact, for example, that APHIS has on American agriculture is tremendous. And so while the work is hard, the hours can be long, the rewards are equally as large. I would also encourage those that are interested in coming to work for a particular agency, learn what you can about the agency before you go for a job interview. I can't tell you the number of people that I've interviewed for prospective jobs that know next to nothing about the agency. And indeed, if you are truly interested in working for that agency, it just makes common sense that you would have done some background and know what that agency does and what kind of position that you would be interested in.
I'm afraid we're out of time. That'll have to be our last question. Dr. Haven, Mike and I want to thank you for squeezing us in your very busy schedule this morning.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's been my pleasure, and Mike as well. I appreciate the questions and the opportunity to explain to the public the wide variety and important functions that the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service plays. We've got a great group of dedicated employees who work hard day in and day out. And for those of you that are interested in knowing more about our programs, I would encourage you to visit our website. That website is www.aphis.usda.gov. And we've got a comprehensive website that will explain to you more about what we do in our various programs, as well as provide mechanisms for you to get answers to your questions if you need services from our agency. Again, Paul and Mike, thank you very much for having me on your program.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
Haven. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Ron DeHaven, Administrator of the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. I'm Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.